Elementary Grammar for the Greek New Testament, Lesson 1. Matters of General Importance. You will notice that each lesson is divided into several sections. The first section is 1.1, the Greek alphabet. New Testament Greek has 24 letters. The English alphabet roughly corresponds to the Greek. Memorize the letter names and learn to write only the minuscules. Originally, the two alphabets were not mixed, which is preferred. Unfortunately, today, often New Testaments have a mixed alphabet, which should not be. You'll notice that the first page is divided into four columns. The far left column is titled Unseals or Unshills. The second column is Minuscules, means small letters. The third column is Name, that's the name of the letter. And the sound that the letter makes is in the fourth column. The first letter is Alpha, pronounced as A as in Father, or A as in Bat, A. Beta is pronounced B as in Ball. Gamma is pronounced G as in Game. Delta is pronounced D as in Dog. Epsilon is pronounced E as in Set. Zeta, that's got a DZ sound, as in ads. Try to get that DZ in there. Dzz. Eta is E as in obey. It's a long E sound. It's considered the long form of the epsilon. Theta, TH as in theater. Iota, not iota. Iota as I in magazine. That's the long pronunciation. Or I as in pen. That's the short pronunciation. Kappa as K in kite. Lambda, L as in last. Mu, M as in meter. Nu, N as in now. The next letter is Xi, a KS sound, or X as in max. Omicron is O as in office, in other words, ah. P, not pi, as the mathematicians often pronounce it. P as in pig. Rho is pronounced R as in run. Sigma, which has two forms, is pronounced like an S in song. The first sigma is used at the beginning or in the middle of words, and the second sigma is used only at the end and is the only sigma used at the end in the minuscule alphabet. The next letter is tau, T as in top. Upsilon, U as in tube. Phi, not phi, as PH in phonics. Chi, not chi, CH as in chemical. Psi, not psi, PS as in maps. And then finally, omega, that's the long O, O as in bone. So you should learn the alphabet. I would recommend pronouncing it out loud, the names, in the following manner. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, xi, omicron, p, rho, sigma, tau, upsilon, phi, chi, psi, omega. Take your time and learn to do it right. When I was a young student, I pronounced it out loud whenever I had the opportunity, sometimes at the top of my lungs. It seemed to help, for at least for me. Page 2, section 1.2, How to Write the Greek Alphabet. I have provided you with forms of the Greek alphabet as related to the line. You'll notice that alpha is the first letter, more or less sets the regular letter height. Many letters are the same height, and I list all the ones that are actually the same height. In English, we, for instance, usually make our T's taller than the alphas, even in the small lowercase letters. But in Greek, the tau is the same height as the alpha. It's also the same height as all the other letters that do not extend either above or below. So alpha, epsilon, iota, kappa, nu, omicron, p, sigma, tau, upsilon, and omega all fit within the lines. Some letters, extend above or below the normal line. For instance, beta. When you write these letters, or actually you're probably going to be drawing them at first, try to keep them in this relationship if you can. The following letters are written only above the line, delta, theta, and lambda, while some go only below the line, gamma, eta, mu, rho, and sigma, and a few, like beta, go both and above and below the line. Beta, zeta, xi, phi, and psi go both above and below the line. Observe this carefully and practice writing these. It will help you a lot to memorize them and learn how to write them. The vowels, paragraph 1.3 or section 1.3, a vowel is a letter in Greek just like in English, a letter sound which does not restrict the airflow and pronunciation. That's why we call them vowels. As we will see, consonants do in some way restrict the flow of air. In Greek, as in English, each syllable of a word must have either a vowel or a diphthong. See section 1.4 below. We'll talk about that in a few moments. As in English, Greek vowels are either long or short, which may affect their pronunciation, only to a small amount. Two Greek vowels have different form for long sound than for short sound. So look at the following chart. The short vowels are alpha, epsilon, iota, omicron, and upsilon. The long vowels are also alpha, but not epsilon. Eta is the long form of that vowel. Iota, and then omega is the long form of the O vowel, or the omicron, and then upsilon. You cannot always tell the difference between a long and a short vowel by the pronunciation in Greek any longer. We are not altogether certain what makes them long and short, but there are signals in the Greek text that seem to indicate that distinction. In addition, vowels can be categorized as either open or close. This is an important distinction. Open vowels are pronounced with the mouth well open, and close vowels are pronounced with the mouth nearly closed or tending toward being closed. You never close your mouth, of course, but it's closer to being closed than with the open vowels. Now, the open vowels are alpha, epsilon, omicron, eta, and omega. But there are only two close vowels, iota and upsilon. This is the basis upon which we understand something called diphthongs. That's the next paragraph, or the next section, 1.4. Sometimes two vowels come together to make a single sound. This construction is called a diphthong. Diphthongs always begin with an open vowel and end with a close vowel, with one exception. The final diphthong in the chart is two close vowels, upsilon and iota. So upsilon and iota consists of two close vowels. The common diphthongs then are in the following chart. I'm going to pronounce them for you as we normally pronounce them in this particular lesson. Other Greek grammars teach a slightly different pronunciation process. I've learned them both, but I prefer this one for this lesson, the first year Greek at least. The first diphthong is alpha iota, pronounced like I, as in aisle. Epsilon iota, pronounced like I, as in height. You'll notice they pronounce the same way, but you can tell by looking at them that they're obviously not the same. Some pronounce I for the epsilon iota like as A, but that confuses it with eta, so I would rather confuse it with another diphthong than with a long vowel. Oi is pronounced, omicron iota is pronounced like oi in oil. Alpha upsilon is pronounced like ow in kraut, like sauerkraut. Epsilon upsilon is pronounced like oo in feud, oo. Omicron upsilon is pronounced like oo in soup. There's a slight difference in pronunciation between U, epsilon, upsilon, and U, omicron, upsilon. And the final diphthong, made up of two close vowels, is pronounced like we. And if it has a particular breathing mark over it, which we will discuss in a few moments, it sounds like we. Sometimes grammars list something called improper diphthongs. These are not true diphthongs, since the letters are pronounced close together rather than as a unit. The improper diphthongs are generally listed as eta upsilon and omega upsilon, but literally, I don't think they're really diphthongs, au and ou. You have to pronounce them separately almost, although they can get slurred, I suppose. Another strange diphthong situation occurs with the silent iota. Yes, sometimes iota is silent. This happens in many languages where the final I of a syllable will almost drop out. We're beginning to do that in English as English gets older. At some point, the letter iota, when following a long vowel, became silent. This occurs in other languages as the double E is often a weak sound, the E sound, and tends to drop or become absorbed in another letter. In the case of Greek, the iota became silent, but refused to be dropped. Instead, it was written beneath the long vowel with which it was associated. It is called the iota subscript. Hence, we have the following forms which are regularly used, often at the end of words, but occasionally within the word, usually at the end of a syllable. The first one is alpha with the iota subscript. It's pronounced as an alpha. You do not pronounce the iota subscript. The eta is pronounced a is it the, with the iota subscript, just like eta without it. And omega is pronounced o with the iota subscript, and so on. So it does not change the pronunciation of the letters, but it's important to observe the iota subscript. Paragraph 1.5, the consonants. The consonants make up the rest of the Greek alphabet as they do in English. All consonants restrict the flow of air in some way. However, the liquid consonants are pronounced with a smooth, easy flowing of breath and are very close to vowels in some ways. As a result, their sound can be held. The mute consonants, so-called, are pronounced by a short clothing of the oral passage. Their sound cannot be held at all. The sibilant consonants have the S sound and their sound can be held through the teeth that are close together, causing a restriction of flow, like the letter S when we pronounce it S. The liquid consonants are, there's only four of them, lambda, mu, nu, and rho. Practice saying their sound and you will find that the difference is the orientation of the mouth, tongue, and teeth. But all the sounds can be held. And I'm going to do that for you right now. The lambda can be held as l. The mu can be pronounced held as m. The nu can be pronounced as n. And the rho can be pronounced as r. Those are liquid consonants. The mute consonants are of three types, depending on the way the airflow is restricted. It has to do, actually, with the way you hold your palatal, your tongue, your teeth, and so on when you're pronouncing them. The so-called palatal or guttural consonants cause the back part of the throat to restrict the airflow. The labial consonants use the lips, the labia, that's the Latin word for lips, to restrict airflow. And the dental consonants cause the teeth to restrict the airflow. In addition, the mute consonants may also be categorized as to the nature of the sound they make. Some make very little sound. Such consonants are called voiceless. Some consonants make a little more sound. They are called voiced. And some consonants blow a bit of air out, and they're called aspirants. When the two ways of categorizing mutes are combined, the result is a structure called the square of the mutes. And I've given you the chart, the square of the mutes. Notice the top row is the top titles are voiced, voiceless, voiced, and aspirants, and the left-hand column is palatal, labial, and dental. This will become rather important later on because the Greeks used these letters interchangeably in certain instances. For instance, in the palatal line, the voiceless palatal is the kappa, very much like the English K that has to have a vowel following it. All you do is close the back of your throat, the palatal area of your throat, and say a word like kappa, the very name of the letter, kappa. You can't really pronounce the K. It just stops the air before you say it. Gamma is likewise voiced. There's a little flow of air, but not as much. G, as in garage, as in game, and so on. And the aspirated form of the palatal is ki. That's where you blow a little more air out. Ki. They come together under certain circumstances in Greek in a unique way, and we'll see that as we go through the language. The labials are P, where the voiceless is P. There you close your lips completely, and you cannot say it without a vowel following it. It simply is begins with closed lips. Pie, pork, and so on. The beta is the same letter voiced. And in some languages, these letters have come together and there's only one form of them, and you have to look at the word to know which form is pronounced. Hebrew is this way. Hebrew has a letter that corresponds to the beta. It's called bet, but sometimes it's pronounced differently. And if you ever study Hebrew, you'll find that out. So P, V, and Fi, F. Those are all considered labials because if you pronounce the sound, you will relate your lips to the sound, either completely closed, slightly closed, or blowing air. Finally, the dentals. Again, tau is closed because you, is voiceless because you do not pronounce anything without a vowel. Sometimes people do that, but that's really not a tau. A tau is tongue or tight. There's very little air that comes through. The delta, on the other hand, has more air. D, d, d. And sometimes, in some languages, it's almost like TH in Greek, d, which is considered an aspirated dental. And then finally, TH, th, th. So, it's an aspirated dental. You put your tongue against your teeth and blow. Th. So, that's the square of the mutes. Keep this in mind. Try to memorize it if you can. It's good to do because you'll find this very helpful in studying the language. We will not put an overemphasis on it, but it is helpful. Now, there are sibilant consonants, and I've given them to you here. Obviously, sigma, but I've given them to you in the order that they occur in the alphabet. Zeta, xi, sigma, and psi. Zeta is the actual z, z is actually a dental sibilant. Dz, it's dz. Xi is a palatal sibilant. K, it's like k with a dz, kz, kz. And sigma is its own little thing, but psi is the dental, the labial one, ps, where you put your lips together, psi. The observant student will realize that these sounds, with the exception of sigma itself, are the various mute consonant categories with the sigma added, and that's exactly what they are. When a sigma follows one of these other letters, it also often changes to a sibilant consonant. So when you see kappa sigma come together, it's usually xi. The kappa drops out, the sigma drops out, and the letter xi takes their place. You see this quite a lot. When the palatal consonants, the dental consonants, followed by a sigma, it's ts, and so on. I've given you a little paragraph there that goes through that. So, I'll just read the paragraph. When the dental consonant sounds are followed by the sigma sound, the result is the sound of the letter zeta, z. When the palatal consonants are followed by the sigma sound, the result is the letter sound of the letter xi or x, x, ks sound. Finally, when the labial consonants are followed by the sigma sound, the result is the sound of the letter psi, ps. As a result of these sibilant letters, when a sigma normally follows a consonant of one of these categories, that consonant plus sigma will be spelled with sibilant letters. Hence, kappa sigma becomes xi, as do gamma sigma and chi sigma. The same holds true with the labial and dental sibilants. This will become very common. You'll see it often. Don't let it bother you. You'll notice it. It's going to become obvious. Breathing marks, paragraph or section 1.6. Something we do not have in English. The reason that they have breathing marks is explained in this first little paragraph. No letter for the sound, for the H sound, occurs in Greek. They do not have an H. However, some words begin with the H sound when their first letter is one of the vowels, or the letter rho. To indicate in writing whether a word starting with a vowel ha or rho should have an H sound before it, two diacritical marks were invented, and they were invented. The original Greek speakers didn't need them. They learned them as children, as infants. These are called breathing marks. Every word beginning with a vowel, a diphthong, or rho must have a breathing mark. You will see it every single time. There are two of them. The first, the smooth breathing mark, occurs when no H sound occurs before the word. The smooth breathing looks like a comma placed over the initial vowel or diphthong. The rough breathing mark occurs when the H sound does occur before the vowel or before the word. It looks like a reverse comma. Note the following. The word for man, anthropos, has a smooth breathing over the initial vowel. Notice just above the alpha, a looks like a comma, followed by a slash mark. That's an accent mark. We'll be talking about that later. No H sound precedes the word. It is anthropos. The word for word, which is utterance, which is the word hrema, since it begins with rho, also has a breathing, but in this case, the breathing is rough, so one must pronounce it with an H sound preceding the word. A day, meaning already, has a smooth breathing, as does autos, meaning he or himself. Hemera, meaning day, has a rough breathing. So I'm going to go through those three words that are in this paragraph again. The word for word or utterance is pronounced hrema. You start with an H, but then you say R. Hrema. The word for already is ade. And the word for he or himself is autos. And notice it's over the second letter of the diphthong there. Autos begins with the diphthong al, alpha upsilon. And the word for day, hemera, has the rough breathing, that is the reverse comma, over the epsilon like hrema does. So, smooth and rough breathing marks. Page 4. Sometimes two different words spelled identically except for the breathing marks occur. A common one is the word for in or by. It's spelled with epsilon nu with a smooth breathing. It's pronounced in. As opposed to the word for the neuter form of the number 1, notice it has a rough breathing and an accent mark. Hen. It's pronounced like the chicken. Hen. The difference is that the number 1 has a rough breathing and then is therefore pronounced hen. There are other words that are like this. And we'll see them as they occur and I'll be pointing them out to you. Accent marks, section 1.7. There are three accent marks that exist in Greek. Originally, they reflected three different ways that stress occurred in the pronunciation. Evidently, the people that invented these marks, they were not part of the original text, pronounced Greek in certain ways of falling or rising accents that we've lost. We no longer know them. However, today, most Greek students treat them all the same way. There are very complicated rules for the way the accent marks are placed. But unless one is interested in linguistics, it is counterproductive to spend time studying them. It is enough to be able to recognize them and know their names. So note the following chart. Here's the three accents. The acute accent, the grave accent that looks like grave, but it's pronounced grave, and the circumflex accent. The acute accent slants to the left, the grave accent slants to the right, and the circumflex accent, sometimes it looks like a pointed accent, or it's got the half moon kind of thing like I have provided here. More modern texts use the curved form, but you will see it as a pointed form, as though it were the acute and grave coming together. Sometimes an accent and a breathing mark will occur over the initial vowel or row. When that happens, the following will appear. If the accent is acute or grave, it will follow the breathing mark. So notice the two different possibilities. Those are graves, acute and grave. Then they both follow the rough breathing mark. If the accent is circumflex, it will occur over the breathing marks, hey, or if it's rough breathing or smooth breathing. This doesn't make any difference. They follow the same way. So accent marks follow breathing marks or are underneath the circumflex breathing mark. There are also pronunciation marks, section 1.8. Older Greek Bibles, if you run across one of these, often use the international punctuation forms. More recent ones have adopted the American British forms. The international punctuation forms are as follows. And by the way, I use these. I prefer them to the English forms because it's awkward using English forms sometimes. The comma and period look like they do in English, so that's the same. The colon stands for the English colon or the semicolon as a single dot above the line. It looks like it's a dot floating in the air, but it's actually a colon or a semicolon. The question mark looks like an English semicolon. And you see that quite often, even in more modern versions. And then finally, 1.9 exercises. Memorize and learn to write the Greek alphabet. Memorize the Greek diphthongs and their pronunciation. Now, if you have any questions, you can email me at ghshin@yahoo.com and I will try to answer your questions. The first lesson here can be learned fairly quickly. There's not a lot of writing to do, but I would recommend highly that you practice writing the alphabet on lined paper and say the letters as you are writing them.